are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Tuesday episode of the program. My guest today is Curtis Birch. He is a co-host of Locked On Kentucky, one of our college podcast hosts. And so we're going to bring him on to help us break down, I think, more loved than not, and that is Josh Allen, outside linebacker slash edge player slash maybe part-time defensive end out of Kentucky. And he's being mocked. He's probably the most popular mock draft pick for the 49ers right now. So we'll break him down. We'll see what's great about him, what is absolutely to love about him as a prospect, and what might be a reason he could be overdrafted in the NFL despite his athletic ability and statistics that he put up in 2018. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify. You can find this podcast anywhere. If you're in your car, just tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On 49ers. And get those mailbag questions in for all those upcoming mailbag segments. We'll have Nick on a little Winky Wednesday and hit that mailbag tomorrow for sure. And maybe just do a full mailbag episode Thursday. We'll see how that goes. And of course, the combine coming up, which is going to be huge next week. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get to today's guest and talk Josh Allen. My guest today is Curtis Birch. He is a co-host of Locked On Kentucky. You can find them on Twitter at Locked On UK. You can find him on Twitter at Curtis Birch. And he's got some inside knowledge covering the Kentucky Wildcats and some inside knowledge of Josh Allen, who is being readily mocked to the 49ers at pick number two. So I'm excited to talk to Curtis today. Curtis, thanks for joining the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Love to talk Josh Allen. He was a really, really fun guy to cover for 4 years at Kentucky.
I can imagine. He was there forever. He was there for 5 years if you include the redshirt year, although you don't get to see those guys play much, right?
Yeah.
You don't pay. And he wasn't like a big-time recruit either, so that's the other thing is all of a sudden he shows up. Like he's on campus for 5 years, but at what point did he show up on your radar as sort of like this playmaker all of a sudden on the Wildcats defense?
Well, I mean, you pay close attention all the way through, and in the sense that, I don't know how much you've delved into his story, but his only other college football offer was Monmouth. He was in New Jersey. He lived in Alabama for a lot of time growing up, but moved to New Jersey during his junior and senior year of high school, and kind of like fell off track with a lot of teams. Was undersized-ish. And basically, a guy on the UK staff had a friend up in New Jersey, said, hey, check this kid out. They went and saw him. They immediately said, come take a visit. He took a visit. They offered him, and he committed on the visit and signed. And the only reason they had a scholarship available is because they had a decommitment. So a lot of things had to fall in place for him to even get to Kentucky. But once he got here, his growth was phenomenal from when he stepped on campus till the last season. I think he started to kind of pop a little bit as a sophomore. You saw some really impressive plays, and then his junior year he was really, really good at the first part, faded late, and then I think we kind of thought that there was a potential of a superstar when we saw him during the off season before his senior season, because you could tell he put in work and he had kind of transformed his body, his lower body. You could just, when he walked into a room, you could tell that he was so much stronger in that area. And you coupled that with the fact that UK had a new hire on the staff, Brad White, who had been working with the Colts, and he coached specifically the outside linebackers. So that he taught Allen a lot of like little techniques and stuff, and his pass rush game just went through the roof.
Yeah, it's crazy because when I watched Allen's 2017 season, I was like, oh, this guy's big and athletic and, nice linebacker that could be second or third round draft pick. And when I started watching his 2018, I was like, is this the same guy? Because he was much bigger. It was pretty obvious. And you talk about the production there. And actually, I had a listener that wanted me to ask you a specific question. You talked about the coaching staff. And this is Adam from Twitter, who had a question about if it was true that he just never had that position coach. Was that like a brand new position coach that didn't exist before last year?
Yeah, it was kind of, I'm trying to think who who Brad White exactly replaced, because there's been, well, like most college staff, there's been a lot of turnover. There's always been a linebackers coach, but the outside linebackers coach was relatively new, because the way that they've kind of described it is they run a 3-4, obviously. I think most people know that, Kentucky. So he's the outside linebacker, you know, can play defensive end as well. And so they kind of hybrided it for a while in the first half of his career. But Brad White came in and kind of – that was his – like, I don't want to make it sound simplistic, but, you know, because he had to do a lot of things. But one of his key focuses was getting those outside guys to play much better. And, like, the other guys improved, not just Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. So you could see the impact throughout the Kentucky team. But Josh Allen benefited the most. So I think, yeah, like, there was a lot more specific coaching to Josh Allen between, you know, the basically after his junior season through this year.
So I want to get to more of the football stuff and what kind of player he is on the field. We talked a little bit about that already. And I like the fit for a Sam linebacker for the 49ers. But what first can you tell 49ers fans about Josh Allen off the field, and what kind of a person an NFL locker room would be getting?
A really fun personality. Like, he was kind of shy. I think he admitted this in an interview I saw that he did with, I believe, CBS. He kind of had like a minor speech impediment growing up, and so was a really shy kid. But, you know, beside blossoming on the field, his personality was really started to shine through off the field. When he was doing interviews, when he was talking to the media, he became one of the top personalities, always had a smile on his face. A lot of that, I think, as well, like from a focus standpoint, he had a kid in the off season between his junior and senior season. So he has a little son named Wesley, who he's sometimes carrying around when like in post game stuff. So you'd see him with this little boy, and he always jokes with him. So he's like always got this big smile on his face, so that's like a lot of the motivation. But like his confidence is so pronounced now, and he had a great kind of moment after the bowl game against Penn State, because the way it was set up, you basically had – it was Mark Stoops and then the Kentucky's two stars, Josh Allen and Benny Snell, were at the podium after the win. And they're talking, and they're wrapping it up. And the moderator is about to dismiss them off the stage and let them go back to the locker room and celebrate with teams. And Josh stopped it. And he goes – he looked at us all and he goes, "Y'all record this. If I don't go number one, I don't know who is." And so, like, he that was something that he would have never done a year or two ago. But it's kind of been able to flourish in the sense that he did the whole tour. I mean, he won all those Defensive Player of the Year awards. He won the Ronnie Lott award, which is an impact trophy, which is a combination on the field, off the field impact. And the best part about that speech was he admitted that he had to Google Ronnie Lott when he first got nominated for the award. But he was like, we actually talked to him on one of our shows locally, and he said, "And then I read about the finger stuff. That dude was crazy." Like, you know, so he just is a great personality.
Yeah, I know a lot of 49ers fans started tweeting that out when he said the thing about Ronnie Lott, and they're like, "Uh-oh, immediate red flag," not knowing who Ronnie Lott is. But yeah, he did the research, and so yeah, he's going to better himself, which is one of the things I love about Josh Allen, is bettering himself off the field, on the field. He didn't know who Ronnie Lott was. He looked him up. You know, it wasn't like he wasn't going to stay ignorant to that. And you've seen like the body of work he's put together, gotten better every season, gotten bigger, stronger, faster, which is awesome, which is one of those reasons why, you know, you look at busts around the NFL and NFL draft picks, and half of these first rounders, you think they're all going to be so great. About half of them are going to not do anything in the NFL or do a lot less than you would expect for a first round pick. And one of the reasons, you know, that you can believe that Josh Allen is not going to fail in the NFL is because of those things, and because of that work ethic and that inner drive, which is something you can't teach. And that's one of the reasons I do love Josh Allen. I'm here with Curtis Birch of Locked On Kentucky, and I want to talk a little bit more about Josh Allen and later talk about a couple of other Kentucky prospects and maybe get some Hoops March Madness bracket tips. One of the things about Josh Allen, and it's one of the reasons why I have not been super hot on the idea of the 49ers drafting him number two overall, is how, and I love the body of work, I love the athleticism, I love the tools, I love that he's versatile, and I like him as a linebacker slash pass rusher off the edge. But so many of Josh Allen's sacks in 2018, and I think I've seen every game, most of them were of the untouched variety, which is rare, and his athleticism is obvious. But I have a hard time believing it will be so easy running around NFL offensive tackles like he did this year. And to that point, even though You know, he played in the SEC, which is one of the big selling points with his, you know, 17 sacks, SEC. But there was no Bama on the schedule. You know, he was locked up by a first-round offensive tackle prospect versus Florida and Juwan Taylor. He did get a sack in that game, but it was against the opposite tackle. Do you have any reservations about his style of play and how it translates to the NFL as potentially, like he says, the number one overall pick, and some have tabbed him as that player and belonging in that tier of prospects? Do you have any reservations about his ability as a pure pass rusher, which is where that value would come for an edge guy that high in round one?
No, I mean, I can understand that to a certain extent. But I would probably just say that he's shown improvement. And maybe, you know, I mean, the one thing, ideally, you know, you can't teach the speed necessarily.
Right.
So if he's got that going for him, he can improve on some moves and those kind of things. And his strength is, as we noted earlier, kind of just developed going into his senior season. So maybe he wasn't able to put that all the way into work. So I understand those. So at that with that aspect, you'd have to kind of bet on him making more progress, mm-hmm. which I think he's shown he can do. But I understand, you know, when you're taking a guy this high up in the draft, you want to be able to see it all. But with Josh Allen, you know, as we mentioned, wasn't a high prospect coming in, and so much of his growth was done. I feel like it was kind of like sped up, and now he's at a spot where, you know, he I think he definitely can will be able to contribute in year one of the NFL, but there is still a ceiling for him. So I don't know when or how those moves would come to development from just beside the speed rush stuff. But I will say that, you know, he just seems to have a knack for making the big play at the right moment. And, you know, that's tough to kind of put into a stat sheet mm-hmm. when you just look at stats. But many of his stats and many of his sacks, and I forget the exact number, came in fourth quarter in like late game situations where he would basically end games with sacks, which was, I mean, I think he did it once or twice this season. It just kind of just shows that he was up for the big moment. And obviously when you're in the NFL, every moment is a big moment. So he would have that going for him. And he also, you know, makes plays in other ways that isn't as valuable as the pass rush, but he blocked a kick. In the Penn State game, he's shown that he can, you know, cover and pass if ever asked for that. Obviously, he's not going to be if you're drafted as a pass rusher, that's your first job. But to have kind of all these other like intangibles and other things he can do, maybe can give you kind of like it allows you to hedge your bet a little bit if he isn't, you know, the most dominant pass rusher when he goes up against NFL offensive linemen.
Would you say that Josh Allen is, at least on the collegiate level, was he like a program changer? Because the Kentucky football program, obviously with your podcast, I'm sure you talk a lot about Kentucky
yeah.
basketball because that's king down there, right? So when it comes to Josh Allen and the Kentucky football program, it seems like they weren't really even on the map, and they had a pretty good year. And a lot of that was around, you know, the program ascension kind of happened with Josh Allen's ascension as a player. Was he that impactful of a game-changing sort of a leader and a player for Kentucky?
Yeah, he was. I mean, like if you're going to, I mean, this obviously this was such a historic season for UK football, winning double-digit games for the first time since the 70s, having a winning record in the SEC for the first time since the 80s, like doing all kinds of stuff that haven't been accomplished in forever, and him winning all those awards, first-team All-American, you know, he was – pointed to by the coaching staff, by the players that are younger than him as a leader on the team and as an example that they kind of hold up. I mean, Mark Stoops, the head coach, constantly pointed to him as a guy of development and how when you put in the work, this is what the result is. And so I think that his impact on the team, it was pretty evident from what he was able to accomplish on the field, racking up all the stats that he did and all the wins that he did. But going forward, I think he's definitely changed the Kentucky program for the better because he set a standard, you know, on the field, but probably more importantly off the field, in the weight room, putting in work, watching film, doing all those things that now the younger guys finally have an example. And, you know, I mean, That's like the question of culture in football is something that is so hard to kind of get after. But once you can kind of have it set by somebody, and it can kind of grow and continue to grow. And I think Josh Allen kind of planted a seed of that for Kentucky football.
I think that's so big, and one of the reasons why I can see John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, if they're in their war room and there's a tie, and they're looking for a reason to break the tie, you know, aside from the height, weight, speed stuff, aside from the positional fit, that leadership and having someone who's that type of a player and a captain and a high character player to build around and a culture changer, I think that's something that they're going to really love about Josh Allen, and it's something that I love about Josh Allen as well. And it's what the reason, like I mentioned before, why when you look at draft picks and you look at busts and why players bust, Josh Allen's probably going to be one of those guys. Whether or not he develops all of those pass rush moves or not, he's not going to be a guy that busts. So you can at least draft him and sleep pretty mm-hmm. well at night, which I think is really important for an NFL team.
Yeah. I think that, you know, his floor is pretty high. And, you know, his ceiling is high too, but the fact that his floor is high is something that can give you kind of a little bit of ease, because you know he's going to put in work. You know, I mean, like, we don't know these guys super personally, but I got to know him a little bit off the field, probably more through when you talk to the people around the program, like the media relations people, the people that deal with them day and day, the coaches. And when all those people all say super duper positive things, not just like, yeah, he's a good guy, but, you know, lavish praise on him. That's what they all did with Josh Allen. Like, everyone that worked with him and for UK football, they all just loved working with him, and they all rooted for him to get to this level. And I think that's, you know, it isn't going to be a burnout with him. He loves to work, which is something else that you really, really want when you're drafting a guy.
Absolutely. And a lot of guys will throw out the hashtag rise and grind or something corny. And all these guys work pretty hard and hit the weight room.
Yeah.
But there's a different level of like a maniacal work ethic that the really great ones have. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I like about Josh Allen. And hopefully he's that kind of type of player in the NFL, especially if he's drafted by the 49ers. But we got to move on here. I want to ask you about a couple of other Kentucky prospects. One of them, running back Benny Snell. He was a productive guy, maybe not, you know, a guy who wows you with his athleticism on the field, but the way I explained Benny Snell one time on Twitter when I watched him, he's like, he's that type of guy that some team's going to draft in, say, the fourth or fifth round or whatever in April, and most of the nation doesn't really know who Benny Snell is, and all of a sudden he'll show up and win a fantasy football game for somebody in the playoffs and come out of nowhere and start some games, and you're like, where'd this guy come from? Because he's just kind of solid.
Yeah, that's a really good way to kind of describe Benny, probably at the next level. I mean, on the collegiate level, he was pretty dominant. I mean, he first, you know, burst on the scene from a Kentucky standpoint in his true freshman year. He actually only played special. He got a couple snaps on special teams in his first couple games, and then he became the full time running back and still racked up 1,000 yards. And then it was all Benny Snell on the offensive side from then on, and eventually became the all-time leading rusher in Kentucky football history. I mean, it was one of those deals where everybody knew, and this is cliche, but it's true for Benny Snell. Everybody knew Benny Snell was going to get the ball, but a lot of times he still couldn't stop him. I mean, he is a guy that just has, you know, just he has that mentality of kind of being underappreciated. And, you know, we talked about Josh Allen's story, not being recruited, not having D1 offers, and then Kentucky giving him one, and then him taking full advantage of him. The story with Benny Snell is basically, if you're going to describe his persona, it's I have a chip on my shoulder. And he basically grew up in the shadow of, you know, Ohio State football. He was from Central Ohio. Ohio State never recruited him. They didn't offer him a scholarship. And he came down to Kentucky because the Kentucky staff has a lot of connections to Ohio, the Ohio high school recruiting base. You know, Mark Stoops' dad was a longtime coach up there, and they got a bunch of ties up there. And once he came down here, you know, he just put in a ton of work and just kind of never wants to be tackled. That's it. That's his mentality on the field. But, you know, he's just a junior, and, you know, his workload was so great that I think the decision to go pro for him was pretty evident, even though, I mean, what else do you have to prove? You're the all-time leading rusher for your school in three seasons, so it's time to probably move on for him.
Right, and Josh Allen's moving on too, and he's like, I don't know how many games we're going to win next year. Let's head on over to the NFL now.
Yeah, that's probably too as well. But yeah, I mean, so I don't know. Benny Snell is kind of his own persona. Like, he's talking like off the field stuff. His personality is wild. Like, before his junior season, he tried to start a rap career. he put out a mixtape on SoundCloud of just like music that probably wasn't the best. I mean, like, best in the sense, not that he didn't say anything bad, but it wasn't great music. He has, I don't know if anybody's seen the picture, if you want to Google it, Benny Snell tattoo. He has, like, Snell, yeah, which is kind of his catchphrase, and it's, like, in an arc on his stomach. He's just, like, he's a fun character in football. Like, that's the best way to kind of describe his off-field persona.
That's awesome. The athlete, like, hip-hop career thing always tries to intersect, and, man, it just never works. So I'm not going to rush out to listen to that, but I'm kind of interested now. And, yeah, he sounds like a character. So and definitely somebody day three, like, that NFL running backs is, like, they're not, to me, you know, I'm one of those guys that's, like, anti-running back high in the draft because just the value, because you can find guys like Benny Snell on day three, most likely. And so, or maybe he'll sneak into the third round. I'm not sure, but Benny Snell's one I like for the 49ers, a bigger bodied running back that I think they could use. And one more guy I want to talk about weighed in at the Senior Bowl, 6'2", 210 pounds, Lonnie Johnson, a big bodied corner. Niners like their big bodied cornerbacks. What can you tell me about him? He got beat a little bit too much for my liking.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. Actually, you know, my partner on Locked On Kentucky, Colin Tucker, and I were talking about this because we see him kind of shooting up some draft boards. And when we thought Lonnie Johnson, we normally thought, like, hey, that's the guy that people are picking on opposing teams. Like, he was was the target because Kentucky had a great secondary. I mean, they had Darius West, Mike Edwards, Derek Beatty, and Lonnie Johnson. All those guys are probably going to play at least sometime in the NFL. I don't know how much. But from my kind of like standpoint, he was the fourth best member of the secondary for Kentucky. And I understand like the size. Like I could sell him. If you want me to sell him, like he's a JUCO guy. He sat out a full season before he came to Kentucky to get all his academics in order. So his potential, there's still a ton of potential out there. And he has all the physical tools. The coaches loved his physical tools, but I didn't see it a ton on the field this season.
One thing I forgot to ask you about real quick before I let you go, and thank you for the time, Curtis. What do you expect to see from Josh Allen at the Combine? He's listed 6'5", 260. I have a hard time believing he was really that big, even though he did put on some weight, maybe 6'4", 250, which is still plenty of size. But what are you looking at? Is he like a freak where he's just going to blow this thing up next week?
I think there's a chance. I mean, I'm bad at kind of predicting those numbers and things, but I mean, I don't put anything past him. And when he gets a training mentality, which I'm sure he is leading up to this combine, I think he's going to put up pretty, pretty good numbers and they'll pop. I don't think they'll be like all time numbers on anything like that. I think he's a great athlete, but he's not like an all timer, if that makes sense. But I think his numbers will be really good in the combine.
That is Curtis Birch of Locked On UK. You can find him at Locked On UK talking about Kentucky daily and basketball stuff. You can find him on Twitter at Curtis Birch. Personally, do you have any good maybe tips for people filling out their March Madness brackets? UK going all the way or who you like?
I like the way Kentucky's been playing recently. They've been really impressive. I mean, they've been playing like one of the best teams. But the thing that's sticking in my mind is, you know, that Duke blowout win at the beginning of the season. You know, they're going to be tough to handle. I'll throw this out there. It's kind of been a running joke that we've had. The LSU, this team this year, they're climbing up the rankings and beat Kentucky at home, but I don't trust them. So pick against LSU and pick Kentucky and Duke are my strategies this bracket.
I love it. Awesome. I'm putting my money there. Thank you so much, Curtis. Appreciate the time. All right, a quick break here, then my final thoughts and some comparisons for Josh Allen. I love what Curtis said there. He broke down some of the very good arguments for Josh Allen as a prospect. And it's been one of those things where I've really fought against the idea of Josh Allen being the best or second best prospect in the draft. And the 49ers are picking two. And I keep saying you have a chance to pick one of the two best players sitting at number two. Josh Allen's not in that group. I still like Josh Allen a lot. I think he's a first-round player. I think he belongs in a cluster with some other guys, Brian Burns, Ja'Kai Polite. If you have him ahead of those guys, I completely understand for a lot of the reasons that Curtis stated earlier. And it's funny because a lot of the arguments I get for Josh Allen, a lot of times of people that haven't really seen him play very much. So I would say to you, if you haven't seen him play, go back, form your own opinion after you watch, like, play in and play out, not highlights. Don't just go look at stats. Don't just go look at PFF grades, because sometimes those things can be misleading. The Penn State game, for example, to end his career, 3-sack performance. Sounds amazing. Bowl game, you know, awesome, amazing way, slam dunk, way to emphatically put an exclamation point on the end of your college career. One play was just a terrible play by the offensive lineman, like a guy that, you know, you're never going to have this opportunity in the NFL. And then the other two were stunts, and he just went untouched. And he goes untouched so often. And one of the things that I think helped his per rush numbers, because he was very disruptive per rush and got home a lot despite dropping into coverage 40% of the time. And again, the versatility I love, the athleticism I love. I like the length. I think he's going to work out really well. I love, absolutely love the character and that work ethic. That's one of the most important things to being successful in the NFL. It can't be overstated. So I love that. All those things are great. The way he won as a pass rusher is the one thing I get worried about, and it was all over his tape. He was easily blocked way too often. He was stalemated way too often, just completely handled by guys. And he didn't show up and really do much against any of the better tackles he faced. I mentioned that Florida game against Juwan Taylor. And he did beat up on some bad tackles. He ran around guys like they're standing still. It's not going to happen very often in the NFL. And another thing I think that aided his production per snap as a pass rusher is that offenses didn't know if he was coming or not. So I think that's another thing, that when you see a guy line up in a three-point stance, he's a defensive end, it's, you know, second and 10. You have a pretty good idea what that guy's going to do. Josh Allen, and this is a credit to Kentucky and the way he was coached, you don't know. If he's dropping back 40% of the time, your head has to be on a swivel. You might get a rusher over here. You might get a rusher over here. He might blitz. He might go around the edge. He might blitz inside. He might stunt on you if he is lined up like a defensive end. So I think that helped his numbers as well. And it's just not going to be that easy in the NFL. That's the one argument I have against Josh Allen. And the tape is really what matters above all of these other things, above workouts, above stats, above grades. And even though he graded out well, it's just a snapshot. It's not predictive of future grades and future success in the NFL. And he had a good season and he put up a lot of numbers. You can't deny that. But when you watch the tape, watch him play in and play out, he does not dominate as a pass rusher, which is what you would be drafting Josh Allen to do if you took him number two overall. So the question is, all of this athletic ability, all of this drive and determination and work ethic, he's got a nice little dip and rip sometimes. He's got some flexibility. You know, he's got that athleticism to get the edge. It's not like Von Miller type. But he just doesn't show anything else, doesn't show speed to power as a rusher, even though he does show some power, as Curtis mentioned, as a run defender at times, but not as a defensive end. So first of all, I don't think teams looking for a 4-3 end are going to like Josh Allen and have him rated as highly as maybe, say, Cleveland Farrell or someone like that, just because nobody's going to expect him to come in and be an every down run defender as a defensive end, at least early on in his career. So I think that leaves the 3-4 teams that are really the ones that are going to like Josh Allen the most. And I think that's a fit for the 49ers at that Sam linebacker, because again, the 49ers have sort of that hybrid scheme where the Sam linebacker, a 3-4 outside linebacker, although depending on scheme, he plays a little bit more in the 49ers scheme as an off-ball backer on early downs and then a little more as a defensive end on a later downs, as most outside linebackers do in 3-4 defenses. And you're on the field 60 to 70% of the time in that sub package. So if Josh Allen isn't that elite edge rusher early in his career, you're playing him basically like Mark Nzacha's role was last year, as a part-time early down defender as an outside linebacker. That doesn't have number two overall value. And one thing about that Sam position that the 49ers have done and are able to do is they can split up the duties between base and sub packages and have the sub guys basically just, you know, a rotational defensive end pass rusher, and the base defender is just that straight up outside linebacker that can blitz a little bit and cover a little bit and set the edge. And Josh Allen could do all those things. But I guess the final point is, and I've said it before, and I've kind of, you know, circled the drain on this idea so many times, he's a really good prospect. I think he's a first round prospect. I think he's in a cluster of guys. I can't wait to see him work out and weigh in and see if he can wow and show so much athletic ability that you just can't pass up the opportunity to work with this ball of clay, this human being that's so athletic, has prototype height, weight, speed, and can also outwork anybody. And you have faith that you can teach him the things that he doesn't have, because right now he's not there. That's the question. Can you teach him the things he doesn't have? And is everything else so great that the whole package is so great that you can't pass up on him? That would be the reason, and really the only reason, to draft Josh Allen. Not his sack totals, not as PFF grades, not because that's your biggest need. Those are reasons that you make mistakes in the draft. That's not why you draft Josh Allen. You draft Josh Allen because of the things that Curtis laid out and the things that I just laid out. And I think I dropped some Josh Allen comparisons in an earlier mailbag episode a while back, but just to reiterate those and how I feel about Josh Allen, I think my high-end comparison for him would be DeMarcus Ware. A 3-4 outside linebacker, supremely athletic, 6'4". He was about 255, I think, coming out of Troy. He was a lightly recruited player out of high school, self-made guy, was an ex-wide receiver in high school, just as Josh Allen was, and gained, 40 pounds over his college career and ended up being an edge guy and an outside linebacker, and ran, I think DeMarcus Ware ran like 4.5s, mid-4.5s at the combine. So that's the high end, what he could be, I think. I think it's a really good comp for what you hope he could be. I don't think Josh Allen, technique-wise, is there as a pass rusher like DeMarcus Ware was in college, but a lot of the other stuff is very reminiscent. And by the way, DeMarcus Ware was like number 11 overall to the Cowboys, 11 or 12 overall. And the other comparison I would have, who went number 9 overall a few years back to the Minnesota Vikings, is Anthony Barr. And Anthony Barr in the NFL has been used more as an off-ball, traditional, strong side, outside linebacker for the Vikings. And again, a freak specimen of an athlete. 6'5", 255. I think he ran a 4.6 flat at the combine. So comparable athlete again, and neither one of those guys was a top 5 pick. But Anthony Barr is a good player. He's had Pro Bowl seasons. He's had multiple Pro Bowl seasons, but he's played more of an off-ball role. I think Josh Allen could do a lot of the things in the NFL that Anthony Barr has done. And physically, they're very similar. And college stat-wise, very similar. And they won in similar ways in college with that athleticism and that sneak attack pass rush sort of mold. The outside linebacker that all of a sudden would, you didn't know if they were going to drop or if they were going to come after the quarterback. Could you sign Anthony Barr in free agency and get 90% of Josh Allen? I don't know. Maybe it's something to think about and use that number 2 overall pick in another way. Anyway, I got to wrap this up here. All that is to say, I really like Josh Allen. He's a first round prospect. There are some other good prospects in this draft. There are some prospects I like more for the 49ers. There's some players that I think are closer to being finished products that you don't have to wish that they could become this thing. It worries me that the 49ers could make the same mistake they made a couple years ago in Solomon Thomas in drafting a player who you had to squint to figure out exactly how he was going to fit and what he was going to be. And I think Josh Allen has some of that, even though he has all of that. It pains me to play the heel role because I've had to, fight so many people about, he's good. He's just not number 1 overall good. That's the way I'll put it. Like Josh Allen a lot. Trade down. If he's still there, you draft him. If not, not the end of the world. There's really good players that you could draft instead. If you're there at number 2, he's not one of the top 2 players in the draft. You take one of the top 2 players in the draft. But I do pray he either is very pedestrian at the combine so we can end all of this talk, or he just blows the thing up and makes it to where it's like, yeah, look, you know what? I get it. Need. He's got all of those traits that we've talked about, and you just hope that you can teach him the rest and he becomes just a monster of an NFL player. And that's definitely a possibility. 5 years from now, when we're talking, he could absolutely be the best player in this draft class. I don't think it would be smart to bet that he is that, because right now, he's not that player, and there still has to be a lot of growth. And knowing what we know so far about Josh Allen, what we heard from Curtis about him, there's no way I'm going to bet against Josh Allen either. But that's Josh Allen. We'll talk more, I'm sure, about Josh Allen as we get closer to the draft and after the combine. We'll check back in and see how he did. It's going to be a fun week. There's a lot of very interesting prospects to see what they do. So we'll be back tomorrow, a little winky Wednesday, and then a lot of combine coverage next week right here on Locked On 49ers.